Episode 5. This is the fifth and final part of our 20th annual October Pro-Life miniseries dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. 4 weeks ago, in episode 1, we began by acknowledging that although it can be extremely difficult to keep God's commandments in particular situations, it is never impossible. Why? Because of the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us the grace and the strength always to keep God's holy law, even in the most difficult circumstances. In episode 2, as we condemn the various acts of violence, terror, and killings throughout the world, we must never, ever forget about the murder of thousands of beautiful, innocent children. Since we began this pro-life miniseries on Respect for Life Sunday, 103,600 Americans have been killed in the wombs of their mothers. 103,600. Now that is a massacre. As St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said during her address at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. on February the 3rd, 1994, any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. This is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. Even Dr. Seuss knows the truth. A person is a person, no matter how small. In episode 3, we talked about the vision of Pope Leo XIII, where supposedly the devil was given 100 years to destroy the church. And we saw how the devil has destroyed marriage and family through one terrible thing: contraception. Exactly 100 years ago, Margaret Sanger was arrested for handing out birth control. And 100 years later, very few people see it as evil. But thanks be to God that through these 100 years we have received the profound message of Our Lady of Fatima. Pray the rosary and do penance for the conversion of sinners. And we've had over 100 years of Pope Leo XIII's powerful prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him. We humbly pray. Last week in episode 4, we talked about the evils of physician-assisted suicide and our obligation to pray, make sacrifices, and encourage all of our doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals to take the traditional Hippocratic oath that says, I will never give a deadly drug to anybody if asked for it, nor will I even make a suggestion to that effect. We have an obligation to pray, make sacrifices, and encourage those elected to public office to give to God what belongs to God. And we give to God what belongs to God not only when we praise and worship Him in the way He desires, but when we conform our civil laws to God's natural and divine laws. And so that brings us to today, to episode 5. And we begin episode 5 with just a few questions that I want you to think about. First, how many people here today got to decide when they were created in the wombs of their mothers? Did you say, I wish to be conceived on Valentine's Day? How many people got to decide when they were born? I was born at 2:04 in the morning. Did I decide that with my own free will? Did I say, I am going to inconvenience my mom by being born in the middle of the night? How many people got to decide where they were born? I was born in Austin, Minnesota, last century, in the 20th century. I didn't decide that. If I would have got to decide where I was going to be born, I would be born in Florence in the 13th century. The greatest of all centuries, the century of my Dominican friends, St. Dominic, St. Thomas Aquinas, and St. Albert the Great. The century of our Franciscan friends, St. Francis, St. Clare, St. Anthony of Padua, St. Bonaventure. The century of St. Gertrude the Great and Elizabeth of Hungary. The century of Dante. Wouldn't it have been great to be born in the 13th century in Firenze, speaking Italiano with Dante as he wrote the Divine Comedy? But I digress. I think it's clear that I didn't get to decide when and where I would be born. And I didn't even get to decide when I would be conceived in the womb of my mother. Nobody can will themselves into existence. But in the modern world, we think that our will, what we want, is absolute. And there are just lots of things that I can't will. Last week, I willed it not to snow. It wasn't very effective, was it? It snowed anyway. As powerful as my will is, I couldn't stop it from snowing. Last week during our priest workshops, I was able to go out and look at the stars without big city light pollution. And it was a stunning night. I saw the Milky Way. I saw the Big Dipper, the North Star, the Little Dipper. All of it. It was absolutely beautiful. And I thought, I want that North Star to move to the east. And it didn't happen. Because as powerful as my will is, I can't command the North Star to move to the east. Only God can make everything happen by the simple desire of his will, right? Only God can do that. God thinks sun, and there it is. God thinks stars, and there they are. God thinks the moon, and there they are. God thinks orangutan, wombat, and there it is. Right? God thinks creepy crawly things, and they come into existence. God thinks sea monsters, and it happens. Only God can make everything happen by the simple desire of his will. So one final question. How many people here got to decide if they were born with two X chromosomes or with one X and one Y chromosome? In other words, who got to decide if we were created male or female? Only God gets to decide these things. The Bible says God made them male and female. But in today's modern world, they think that our will is absolute. In today's modern world, people think that if they're a man, they can be a woman. Or if they're a woman, they can be a man. And this is very offensive to Almighty God. What does the Bible say? In Isaiah 45, verse 9, "Woe to those who quarrel with their maker. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?' Or, 'Your work has no handles?'" Each one of us is a clay pot, and God is the potter. The Bible says we shouldn't complain that God the Father made me either male or female. Instead, the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 14, "I praise you, O God, because I am fearfully, wonderfully made." We should praise and thank God for making me a man or a woman. And yet many people in today's modern world say to God, "I'm really, really upset with you because I'm very poorly made." And this attitude breaks our Lord's Sacred Heart. I remember in my classroom growing up at the Catholic school, there was an ugly felt banner that said, "God doesn't make junk." And that is the truth. God is the potter, the sculptor, the artist, and what he paints and what he makes is beautiful. I praise you, O God, because I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Back in September, we had the Bishop's Study Day in St. Paul. It's an outstanding day. All six bishops of the state of Minnesota are present with other leaders throughout the state of Minnesota. And we learn and we discuss moral issues that affect the faithful in the diocese here in Minnesota. It's a wonderful day. I look forward to it every year. This year, one of the things we learned about was that at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, for the past 38 years, almost my whole lifetime, for the past 38 years, they've refused to perform gender reassignment surgery. Why? Because they were able to understand natural law correctly. Gender reassignment surgery is bad for the human person. And I was all excited, and then I learned that after 38 years of not performing transgender reassignment, they're gonna start. So sad. But the truth is this: no amount of surgery, hormone injections, or anything else will change someone's DNA from a man's to a woman's or from a woman's to a man's. I cannot will to be a man or a woman. Only God can do that. Almighty God impresses upon the soul our masculine identity or our feminine identity, and he imprints it upon the soul, and our will can't change it. Woe to those who would quarrel with their maker. Does the clay say to the potter, "What are you making?" And your work has no handle. I hope you've noticed recently the beautiful prayers our Holy Mother, the Church, gives us to pray during Mass. Sometimes we're just so flooded by so much at Mass that sometimes we fail to stop and listen to the prayers. Did you hear the opening collect this morning in the Mass? It's beautiful. Make us love what you command so that we may merit what you promise. That's what we prayed for. That's my prayer for all of us. Not just make us begrudgingly accept what you command, make us grin and bear what you command, make us merely tolerate what you command. No, we prayed, help me to love what you command. Give me the grace to love what you command with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my strength, because what God commands is always true and good and beautiful. What God commands will always make us truly happy. And if we love what God commands, then we'll merit what he promises. And what does he promise? Eternal life. If we love what he commands, we will receive the gift he promises, eternal life. Do you remember last Sunday's opening collect? Last Sunday's opening collect was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It was so long ago, right? Who would remember last week's opening collect? I remember it. All-powerful and ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours. That's what we prayed for in every Catholic church, in every language of the world last Sunday. Grant that we may always conform our will to yours. Now, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I unfortunately spend a lot of time praying that God will conform his will to mine. I spend so much time in prayer trying to change God's mind. God, if only you would come around to seeing things my way. But we don't pray to change God's mind. We pray to change our minds. So that our minds and hearts and souls will always be conformed to God's perfect will. Not my will, but yours be done. So, Almighty God, we pray that we may always conform our will to yours, so that someday we can praise you forever in heaven. We praise you today because we are fearfully, wonderfully made.